Thanks, Ryan. I'm Paul Ayers from University of Tennessee, Biosystems Engineering, and I'm presenting today with some information about how to use GPS and GIS to estimate terrain impacts from military maneuvers. This is sort of a summary overview of work that we've been doing over the past years and just sort of reporting on where we are in this process and how much we've accomplished. So in the past, there's been a need of obviously to monitor the training areas after vehicle maneuvers to look at how much damage has been done to the terrain in terms of vegetation loss. And that's really what we're going to do, what I'm going to do in this presentation to define vegetation damage. We're looking at quantifying this vehicle terrain impact and also understanding how much recovery occurs over the years. And so that's sort of a long-term study that we've been working with. When I first got into this numerous years ago, the old technique was to utilize models that estimate, one, where the vehicles are traveling in terms of how far they're traveling, without too much information about exact vehicle movement patterns, and then also an estimation of what the vegetative impacts were as they were running off-road, and then what their off-road percentages were. And so we felt like there was some opportunities to improve the accuracy of those predictions and to evaluate, to utilize GPS to evaluate vehicle, track the vehicle movements, evaluate when they're on-road and off-road, distance traveled, that sort of thing. And then also evaluate the vehicle terrain impacts. How much vegetation do vehicles cause when they're actually turning or going straight over different terrains? And this would allow us to quantify a variety of site-specific vegetation impacts and then to quantify how much vegetation is removed in different training areas. We put together along with Heidi Howard and Alan Anderson at Searle, put together a vehicle tracking system that we thought would be useful for putting on the vehicles that was self-contained, battery-operated, non-intrusive, that could be mounted to a vehicle. And it's hard to see this, but you can see it mounted onto the side here with bungee cords, fairly easy to strap on at the beginning of a maneuvers. This unit that we have here captures about 10 days worth of data, and the data is collected every second. And so we're getting GPS data every second that's differentially corrected, looking at vehicle velocities and movements. We also restore all the satellite quality types of data, the dilution of precision, number of satellites, fixed quality, and that sort of thing. GPS receiver is a fairly simple Garmin WAZ unit. Accuracies are you know, within a meter or two, so we're pretty close to where the vehicle actually is. We use a serial data recorder that stores all the data onto a compact flash card. When we first started looking into this, and this is kind of a busy slide, but it shows us that when we first got into it, we had to figure out, one, who was out there and who was training. And there were a bunch of vehicles there, and we started thinking, well, what vehicles are we going to put these units on? Because if we look at a battalion maneuver, and this would be sort of a battalion that would have three troops, Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, they would have each three platoons, maybe a headquarters platoon, a mortar platoon, and each of these may have four vehicles in there. And so we just couldn't just start putting GPS units on different vehicles. We had to know what vehicle we were mounting the units on in order to get a good representation of the movement patterns of these vehicles. There may be 60 vehicles there. We didn't have 60 units, VTS units. We had 20, and so we had to think about, well, let's put some on the first platoon leader's vehicle to find out where they're going versus the mortar vehicle versus the headquarters vehicle. So there's a lot of information that needs to be acquired as you're putting these units on to say, well, what vehicles is this going on? What is its mission? Is it going to do a reconnaissance mission, which is going to be a lot of off-road data, or is it going to be running up and down the roads? Is it going to be used as an ambulance or just a troop carrier? So there's a lot of information I feel needs to be acquired as we start to put these units on vehicles. This is sort of the results of one of our studies at Fort Lewis. This was a striker training activity. Again, we're tracking battalion maneuvers here, three companies, and typically there's three platoons in a company with four vehicles in each platoon. This is sort of a potpourri of all the vehicle traffic. Most of the time, they're running up and down the roads, and we can see that depending on their mission. This was not a reconnaissance mission. This was some range work, but they did have some off-road activity, which was in this area. And without knowing where that activity was going to occur, it's difficult for the land managers to go out to their installation and look around and see what the damage was. So if you focus on determining a roads buffer, meaning we look at to try to define where all the off-road traffic is, because again we're looking at how much vegetation is removed, we can take the roads map, put a roads buffer on there, and then it start to identify where the off-road traffic would occur. It's only about 10% of the actual movement is off-road in terms of distance. We can also use the GPS to determine the vehicle velocity and the turning radius, how sharp the vehicle is turning, because that then evaluates how much impact is being caused. Here's an area that saw a lot of off-road traffic, and then we can zoom in on that area and see that there was a lot of striker movement in this area. This was a platoon study and identifies some of the types of movement that the strikers were causing and evaluate the impact. The problem is now we know where the vehicles are off-road, we know where they're traveling, we know how fast they're going, we know how sharp they're turning. How do we determine how much vegetation is being removed? And so that leads us to the next part of the studies where, well, before I move into that, this would be an example at Yakima Training Center. And so this is some areas where this was a reconnaissance mission. They're doing screen line activities here, running up to the top of the ridge, running along the ridge, and running back down. This is an area security mission in which they're off-road, they're moving through the area, and this is a zone reconnaissance area. So these are three different reconnaissance types of missions. And at Yakima, we saw a lot more off-road activity than we saw on-road activity, say, for example, we saw more off-road activity at Yakima than we saw off-road activity, for example, at Fort Riley or Fort Lewis, just because their mission was more of a reconnaissance mission. So the next part was then to evaluate how much the damage was occurring as these vehicles were moving. So we did some controlled studies with different vehicles. Let's see if this video actually plays. Ooh, it's kind of jerky. But we would actually operate the vehicle in a spiral pattern. And you can see it's going straight. We'd operate at different velocities and at different, it didn't actually move like that. It was more continuous when it was doing its spiral. And then it would start turning, and as it's turning, it would show maybe more vegetation being removed. You can see the vegetation here being thrown up and the soil being disturbed more as the vehicle is turning than going straight. So we did some controlled studies at a variety of different installations, different vehicle types, to try to quantify as the vehicle, got out of that without locking up. It's lucky. We attempt to quantify how much vegetation was being removed. So the process or the protocol was to go to each of the track points, GPS the track point, measure its disturbed width, meaning the width of its disturbance, and a quantity or value we call impact severity, ranging from zero, meaning there's no disturbance at all, to 100%, meaning all the vegetation's been removed and all the roots have been sheared. And so we quantify the value or the percent cover that's been removed from that point. That gives us a value called cumulative impact width, or the width of vegetation removed at that point. We can then multiply that by the length to get the area of vegetation, and since we know where the vehicles are going, we can then sum the total vegetation removed. So this would be the protocol, and by knowing the GPS location along each of those spirals, then we can coincide that with or relate that back to the vehicle data. So we know what the vehicle was traveling, the velocity at each point, its turning radius, and its characteristics. So the types of relationships we get would be, this was an example for one of the vehicles, and this would be the cumulative impact width on the vertical axis over here, and on the horizontal axis we have turning radius. So as the vehicle's going straight, you see a lot less damage in terms of vegetation removed, and if the vehicle's turning sharply, you see much more vegetation removed. And so this is a way to quantify that vegetation that's being removed. And then you can develop empirical relationships to relate that. That's also going to be a function of the moisture content of the soil and the vehicle type and its velocity. And so that's why we've done a variety of velocity tests, different soil conditions in the different vehicles. So if we apply that relationship to Fort Lewis here, and we know the tracking data. We know it's off-road movement, so at each off-road point, we can quantify how much vegetation is being removed, and then we can sum that up at each of the training areas. Now, we could do this site specifically and say we know exactly the GPS locations of where the damage was, or we could start to add it up by training area and to quantify it that way. Here is the plot of the percent vegetation, not the percent, but the amount of total vegetation removed in terms of square meters of vegetation based on the existing vegetation, and the fact that it's higher in this area, there's no damage over in these areas, and it's relatively high over here. So that's one way to quantify site-specific vehicle impacts in terms of vegetation removed. So the implementation of this would be to look at these cumulative impact width relationships for all the different vehicles that we have out there as they vary with turning radius, velocity, moisture content of the soil, the type of vegetation we work in. We also look at recovery. How fast does the grass grow back to then say how fast the training area will recover. We've also developed some theoretical models that will then also predict this. So we're in the point of trying to compare our field studies versus our theoretical models and to answer the question, do we have to go out to every training area and do these spirals, or can we use theoretical vehicle dynamic impact models to predict the impact that each of the tracked and wheeled vehicles will cause. In addition to that, we have looked at a variety of different tracking studies, one at Fort Lewis, one at Yakima, three currently at PTA, two at Fort Riley, two at, I guess it's Limestone Hills, Montana, and two at Orchard Training Area in Idaho. So we're starting to generate a fairly good database of vehicle movement patterns. Most of these are battalion movements. And a variety of different vehicles, and so that's starting to generate a good database of understanding where the vehicles are going. So that basically is the conclusion there. We're thankful for the ESTCP project and the support that we're getting from CERL in conducting this study, and I'd like to entertain any questions that you have. Yeah, Tony.
You mentioned the figure about descent off-road and descent on-road.
Yes.
Does that include the time they leave the containment area?
It's not really time, but it's distance. Okay. So it's a percentage distance traveled off-road and on-road. So if they're traveling in the containment area, then that's defined as on-road, yes.
If they're close by the containment area, then the distance, there's still a numerical number of a distance on the off-road, no matter where they are, really.
Yes, if it's off-road near the containment area, then it would be considered off-road, that's correct.
If you're on the other side of the coast, then your percent is smaller because it takes you a while to get to the coast.
That's a good point. If they're doing off-road traffic near the containment area, then your percent of off-road distance traveled would be higher than if they're doing off-road traffic on the other side of the base, because they'd have to travel all the way to get over there, do that same maneuvers, and then travel on the road all the way back. So even though they're doing the same amount of off-road traffic, the percentage would be lower if they're doing the off-road traffic somewhere else on the other side of the base. That's correct. The cost?
Well, this information is going to go somewhere, right?
Right.
But
repairing lands. Right. But no, the vegetation removed would be the same. It's just that one's close to the containment area, the other one's farther away.
Yeah, so you have a numerical value for when they're off.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's correct. Yes.
Right. Have you looked to see if what's coming back after the disturbance is the same as what was there before, or is it just cover?
What do you mean, what's coming? You mean the species, the vegetation? Yes, we have several studies that have been looked at that. Fort Lewis has looked at that. We looked at that at Fort Collins in terms of invasive species coming in. That's really not what I look at in terms of recovery. I'm looking at percent cover, but other people are looking at the new species that are coming in, correct. Oh, got one back there, quick.
And you talked about the model at the end. And will that model perhaps take into account soil type or soil moisture, things like that?
Yes, it will. It does. It takes into account the strength of the soil that's related to type and moisture, correct. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.